It's a shame that we don't have a shade of some kind that we could shade that window with, because this is really quite a sight. Our motion to the left is not as apparent as our motion towards the moon, and therefore we have the decided impression that we're going right into the center of that baby right now.
Okay, we'll check it out for you.
I trust you.
This is Apollo Control at 81 hours, 29 minutes. I'd like to re-summarize at this point what we know about the television transmission scheduled to begin at 81 hours, 30 minutes. Pete Conrad advised that the sun glare coming through the window, which is apparently the only window available to us for getting a shot of the lunar surface with the high-gain antenna at the same time pointing toward Earth, is not acceptable, or apparently would not give us a usable picture of the lunar surface from the spacecraft because of sun glare. We intend to stick with the flight plan as far as maneuvering the spacecraft to the burn attitude, to the attitude for the LOI insertion burn. That maneuver to attitude is scheduled to occur at 81 hours, 55 minutes. In going to the burn attitude, the windows would not be in a position also for a television picture of the lunar surface. We do not at this time know whether the crew intends to transmit a picture from inside the spacecraft, and we'll continue to stand by.
Apollo 12, Apollo 12, this is Houston. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Houston, this is 12.
Good morning, gentlemen. Today's the big day. Hit the deck.
Right here, we've been there for a while.
Very good. We've got a couple of items for you when you get your eyes wide open.
Okay, I'm ready to copy.
Question about your biomedical sensor that you reported moving the other day. Is it still holding in position?
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that this morning. What the problem is I, for some reason, it's making me break out. It looks like I got poison ivy under those things, and they're weeping plasma or whatever you weep. And the one I moved is the one on the top of my chest. And it's all broken out up there. Now, I don't want to take the rest of them off because I'm afraid what I'm going to find underneath. So what I propose to do is continue the way they are. And when we get done the EVAs down there, I want to get rid of them. They're driving me buggy.
Roger, we're going to talk that one over for a second. We're about 2 minutes from LOS. Just in case we should lose you a little bit early, we expect to pick you up again at 101 plus 49er.
Roger. Okay, I've already moved that one, and my skin's in pretty bad shape underneath it. It's still weeping, whatever you weep, plasma, I guess. And I don't want to move the other ones. I've been getting a little stuffy in the head. In fact, I've been that way since launch. And even though I don't have a cold or anything, my ears are sometimes clear and sometimes they're not. I took a decongestant pill about several hours ago, and in order to be sure that my ears are good and clear tomorrow for the all the limb activity and the EVA, how often should I take one of those pills to get the maximum effectiveness from it?
Roger, we'll check on both of those. Apollo 12, Houston.
Go ahead.
The surgeon recommends that we take one of those every 8 hours. So 8 hours after you took the first one, we recommend another one, and it should be just about time to take one more just before the EVA, so that's the recommendation. Also, we're interested in getting biomed, and we're wondering if you can turn on Pete's biomed, if it's just a question of throwing a switch. We're not getting any biomed from him, and we don't know why. Don't wake him up, but we wondered if you could get us some biomed from him easily.
No, he's down at his sleep station, and it makes it a bit uncomfortable to get the biomed down to there, so he's not even connected to it. That's why you're not getting it from Pete at all. The only person you've been getting it from is Dick.
Roger, we didn't get any for a long time there. Okay, and on the thrusters, they look good. We're checking further, but to first approximation, things look fine.
Sounds good. I'm going to head back to sleep, Houston. So the only person you'll have biomed on is Dick, I guess.
Roger, thank you. Hope your nose clears up.
Apollo 12, Houston.
Hello, Houston. Yankee with Intrepid in tow has arrived on time. Are you ready for the burn status report?
Affirmative. Go ahead, Clipper.
Intrepid Houston, now 6-9 plus 0-4-2-0-0. Over.
Roger, copied. Plus 0-4-2-0-0.
That's affirmative.
2169.
Intrepid Houston, go for enter.
It's in, babe. Hey, there it is. There it is. Son of a gun, right down the middle of the road.
Outstanding. 42 degrees, Pete.
Hey, it's targeted right from the center of the crater.
Hey, look out there.
I can't believe it.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
42 degrees, babe.
Just keep talking.
Glide it in. 42, we're passing 3,500. Coming down at about 99 feet a second. You're looking good. Got 15% fuel. I'll reset my watch.
Intrepid
okay,
Houston, go for landing.
Over one. I just want LPD to the right a little.
Roger,
okay,
go.
Roger.
40 degrees, LPD, Pete. 40
That's
degrees.
That's so fantastic, I can't believe it.
You're at 2,000 feet.
How far?
The boys on the ground do okay. 1,800 feet up, 39 degrees. You got 94 seconds of LPD time left.
Okay, I want to move forward a little bit.
38 degrees, 36 degrees, you're 1,200 feet, Pete.
Okay.
1,000 feet coming down at 30. You're looking good. Contact light.
Roger, copy contact.
John.
I think this is in due, in large measure, to an extremely good piece of detective work and engineering work in taking what we learned on Apollo 11, converting it into a few changes in the procedures for Apollo 12, doing a little better job on being able to propagate errors and this sort of thing. And of course, what I consider the superb performance of the flight crew themselves.
Apollo 12, Houston.
Hello, Houston. Yankee Clipper with Intrepid in tow has arrived on time. Are you ready for the burn status report?
That's affirmative. Go ahead, Clipper.
Features are very, very stark, and I never really realized how high the edges of these craters are. These large craters are steep, and it's a pretty rough-looking satellite.
Hard to understand.
The moon's about the size of a volleyball now at arm's length.
Right, you guys must really be closed in on it, huh?
This is the first time we've been able to look at it, and in the Mari area, up to now, it looked very, very smooth. But now, when you look at the Mari area, you can see there's quite a number of long ridges and what have you that bar the Mari a little bit.
Understand.
There it is. Son of a gun, right down the middle of the road.
Outstanding, 42 degrees, Pete.
Hey, it's sighted right from the center of the crater.
Look out there.
I can't believe it.
Amazing. Fantastic. 40 degrees, LBD, Pete. 40
degrees.
That's
so fantastic, I can't believe it.
Looks good out there, Dave. Looks good. 300 feet coming down at 5.
Nice.
Hey,
look
at that crater right where it's supposed to be. Hey, you're beautiful. Watch for the dust. He's got it made. Come on in there. 24 feet. Contact light.
Roger, copy contact.
The rates are close.
Good landing.
Pete, outstanding.
Man,
after I'm on,
beautiful.
Okay, got the old camera running. Okay. Down to the pit.
Okay.
Man, that may have been a small one for Neil, but that's a long one for me.
Boy, you'll never believe it. Look what I see sitting on the side of the crater.
The old surveyor, huh?
The old surveyor, yes, sir.
Does that look neat?
It can't be any further than 600 feet from here.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, arm, 3, 2, 1, liftoff. And away we go.
Did it fire?
Going?
Looking good.
Intrepid Houston, copy ignition, guidance looks good.
316 feet above the lunar surface.
Boy, you sure did nice and quiet, isn't it? Well, I don't know what. Mark, 30 seconds. 30 seconds, 177.
1,594 feet above the lunar
surface. That's pretty good. We're on our way.
And in 1 minute, go right 20 feet.
Okay. Our going. Good.
Looking good.
Good.
Intrepid Houston, copy ignition, guidance looks good.
316 feet above the lunar surface.
Boy, you sure did nice and quiet. Well, I don't know what. Mark, 30 seconds. 30 seconds, 177.
1,594 feet above the lunar
surface. That's pretty good.
We're on our way.
And in 1 minute, go right 20 feet.
Okay.
316 feet above the lunar surface.
Boy, you sure did nice and quiet. Well, I don't know what. Mark, 30 seconds. 30 seconds, 177.
1,594 feet above the lunar
surface. That's pretty good.
We're on our way.
And in 1 minute, go right 20 feet.
Okay. Our going? Good.
Looking good.
And looking good.
Intrepid Houston, copy ignition, guidance looks good.
316 feet above the lunar surface.
Boy, you sure did nice and quiet. Well, I don't know what. Mark, 30 seconds. 30 seconds, 177.
1,594 feet above the lunar surface.
That's pretty good.
We're on our way.
And in 1 minute, go right 20 feet.
I think all of our science people are very pleased with where we've landed. They feel that the potential for geology for the EVAs is very good. We had previously, before the flight, looked at two or three different traverse routes, depending on exactly where he set it down. And I think with the location that we're in, with the general area, that science applications will be very good. What this all means to us in terms of being able to land as close to where we wish to go is we can look downstream to some of the future flights and plan, at least right now until we find something that changes our mind, that we can go into some of these future targets that we've talked about. We landed today with adequate reserve of propellant. All that went very well. I think in summary, that's it. The thing went exactly according to plan. We're all, of course, very pleased with the results. Jared, do you have anything to say in general?
In general, I would say that I think for the most part, when we began planning on this idea of a pinpoint landing, I think we gave ourselves a 50-50 chance of doing what we set out to do. And as we learned more and more about what we were doing, I think we all began to gain a little confidence in us. And I think what we did tonight was really a proof of the pudding, and it's the result of a lot of work. The crew spent many, many extra hours working on the procedures that they needed in order to do this job. And there were a lot of people on the ground who spent many, many extra hours perfecting it. And it looks like we've really paid off.
Good question, answer.
Okay. Please wait for the mic and identify yourself. Okay, let's take John Lanham over here.
Hello, Houston. Yankee Clipper with Intrepid in tow has arrived on time. You can see quite well in the earthshine up here. The lamp is illuminated very brightly, but the moon itself is fairly easy to see in the earthshine. It's quite beautiful. Real soft, it sort of gives it a greenish tinge, gray green. I guess when you run up the side of a steep slope, you could do it, but just running around on level ground, you seem to assume some sort of a normal pace, and you're able to go for long distances without your legs getting tired. The suit doesn't always want to bend like you want to bend. For example, it bends pretty well as a knee, and it bends pretty well in the ankle, but it doesn't want to bend up near the thigh, the top of the thigh. So what happens is you tend to run with the straight legs, land flat-footed, and then push off on your toe. And you think to yourself, well, I'm going to tire out my calves pretty soon because I'm not used to this sort of thing. But apparently the force it takes to push off on your toe on the moon is much less than you just have when you walk or run on Earth. So your legs just don't seem to tire.
Hey, listen, while we're getting that, since you're the international expert on lunar rock rolling, how does that work? Tell us what a rock looks like when it rolls down a lunar crater, since you did some of that on Earth.
Well, it goes very slowly, and I guess the impression you have, the same way as if you throw something up there, and we had occasion to throw some things away, they sort of move out, not too rapidly, but they just keep going, and that's exactly what happens when you roll a rock down the side of a crater. It was hard to get them going. I was surprised.
The funny thing about moving around on the lunar surface, you put on this pressurized suit we wear, and you try to do it on Earth with even close to the weight you have on your back on the moon, and you get tired very rapidly from the walking. And you don't have to walk, you know, over, let's say, 200-300 yards, and you're ready for a rest. But on the moon in the light gravity, with the same suit on and the same weight, your legs never seem to get tired.
Partial pressure CO2 is as usual zero. Got a couple of good winners in these two spacecraft.
Okay, we're out of 35,000.
Hey, there it is. There it is. Son of a gun, right down the middle of the road.
Outstanding. 42 degrees, Pete.
Hey, it's sizing right from
42.
The center of the crater.
Hey, look out there.
I can't believe it.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
42 degrees, babe.
Just keep talking.
Slide it in. 42, we're passing 3,500. Coming down at about 99 feet a second. You're looking good. You're at 2,000 feet.
How far?
The boys on the ground do okay. 1,800 feet up, 39 degrees. You got 94 seconds of LPD time left.
Okay, I want to move forward a little bit.
38 degrees, 36 degrees. You're 1,200 feet, Pete.
Yeah, I've got to get over.
330
right.
Feet, coming down at 4. Got 11%. Got loads of gas. 300 feet, coming down at 5.
Actually, look at that crater right where it's supposed to be. You're beautiful. 10%, 257 feet coming down at 5. 240 coming down at 5. Hey, you're really maneuvering around.
Yeah.
Come on down, Pete.
Okay.
10% fuel. 200 feet coming down at 3. You need to come on down.
Okay.
190 feet. Come on down. 180 feet. 9%. You're looking good. Gonna get some dust before long. 130 feet. 124 feet, Pete. 120 feet coming down at 6. You got 9%. 8%. You're looking okay. 96 feet coming down at 6. Slow down the descent rate. 80 feet coming down at 4. You're looking good. 70 feet. Looking real good. 63 feet. 60 feet coming down at 3. 50 feet coming down. Watch for the dust. 46.
Low level.
42 feet coming down at 3. Coming down at 2. Okay. Start the clock. 42 feet coming down at 2. 40 coming down at 2. Looking good. Watch for that. 31, 32, 30 feet. Coming down at 2 feet. You got plenty of gas. Plenty of gas, dude. Hang in there.
30 seconds. 18
feet coming down at 2. He's got it made. Come on in there. 24 feet. Pro.
Yeah, pro.
Okay. Engine arm off.
Okay.
I'll cycle these valves. You got your descent engine command override off.
Yep.
Okie dokie. I'll cycle the main shutoff valve.
Okay.
Bus seat closed. You get both regs closed, babe.
The regs are closed.
Good landing. P. Outstanding.
Man.
After arm on.
Beautiful.
It's a nice place to land. Boy, it sure was dusty, though.
I'm sorry, I flew by, but that was just going too fast.
Nice touchdown. Felt like you just a little bit on the back.
A good thing we leveled off high.
Yeah.
And came down, because I sure couldn't see what was underneath us once I got into that dust.
That went a long way. Stuff was going to the horizon. Did you really? Just like you said? Look at those boulders out there on the horizon, Pete. Gee, my knee. This is a pretty good place. Right over there. Yeah. Those rocks. Are we over there? Are we on the Copernicus Ray area? Oh, is that right? Oh, great.
We go or stay?
Intrepid Houston, you're staying. If you'd like to recycle and try it again, we'll talk to Sims.
No, not this time. Yeah, we're still mad at him for earlier in the week.
Roger.
Okay, let's get off Fox.
Okay, going to poo.
Off Fox.
EVA went pretty well as planned. I think that most everything, once we got to a task the way we had practiced it back there, we got it done. It was kind of the unforeseen, as usual, which almost got us behind. I will say one thing. It very definitely took about 10 minutes or so to adapt to what was going on, but as soon as I really got to hustling, and I think Al felt the same way.
I think from our end down here, Pete and Al, you did a tremendous job.
As far as the geology goes, we really didn't have a chance to look too hard, but I think it's very obvious that there are a variety of different kinds of rocks. I would also like to say that I think that we're in the most favorable position to get to the surveyor. I don't think we want to walk down the crater wall from the crater wall side that the surveyor's on. I think what we want to do
is walk down in the crater right from the limb across the bottom and walk up the Surveyor. It looks far too steep to approach from the other side, near the upper part. That's number one. Number two, I think that we're pretty well game for any kind of a traverse that you want us to make.
AOS, we have acquisition of signal.
Apollo 12, Houston.
Hello, Houston, Apollo 12, en route home.
Very good.
Got a burn status report for you. Burn is on time. Burn time 2+11. CGX was 0. CGY was +0.7. CGC was +0.1. LWC was -14.4. Fuel was 74.
Balance Roger 12, we got on time 2+11, 0, +0.7, +0.1, -14.4, and will you say again your transmissions were pretty weak on the end?
Roger, fuel was 7.4, oxidizer was 7.7, and the unbalance was +50.
Roger, 7.4, 7.7, and +50, looks good.
You'll get to see that with the stuff we bring back.
Very good.
I guess the last most significant thing is that Al and I and Dick also, having watched our training, were impressed with the fact that we managed to get as far around as we did, and that it was as easy going in that kind of country as it turned out to be. The distance that we covered, I guess we covered a little over a mile. You could bet on Earth in your equipment. If you had lunar weight equipment on Earth, you could never make that traverse in that time. You'd die before you got to the end, and we weren't even sweating. We were just kind of hopping around out there doing the job. The only thing that kept us from moving faster was there was so much to see. Also, the only thing that kept us from studying more details at each site was the fact that we had to keep pressing on. So what's going to happen when we get back? We're not going to know all the details of each site because we just weren't able to stay there long enough, as long as we'd like to at any site. We could have spent that whole time at any of those craters, trenched around them and looked at and collected different size rock type rocks around it and tried to go back and forth on the ejector blanket, see if we could discover any difference in texture and all that sort of thing. But the time just wasn't available. It was one of those things of how much you want to cover the time you got to do it. So all
the duration of it was certainly as surprising to us as many other things observed on the moon have been, for instance, the glass beads. As for the meaning of it, I'd rather not make an interpretation right now, but it is as though one had struck a bell, say, in the belfry of the church, a single blow, and found that the reverberation from it continued for 30 minutes. Means either a very high Q or a very unstable structure, so that a lot of collapses were triggered by the blow.
Let me say that none of us have seen anything like this on Earth in all of our experience, it is quite an extraordinary event. The fact that this rather small impact, which might be equivalent to like a magnitude 3 earthquake or so, produced a signal that lasted 30 minutes is quite beyond the range of our experience. So whatever it turns out to be, I think it will represent a major discovery of completely unanticipated about the moon. And as you can imagine, we'll start working on it immediately.